We mentioned that we were going to hear one more from George Kittle on the Debo podcast. The other voice you'll hear is Liv Moods. Grandy, go ahead and fire away on that one.
Your team captain had this to say about the matchup this morning.
Fred Warner?
Yep. The Chiefs are undefeated this year and still at the top of their game.
Yep, they are.
Still got 15 back there. I have yet to beat him. I have played against him maybe four times now and have yet to beat him. I think it's an important game for us to try and get over that hump and get the win.
I'm definitely with Fred on this. Like I just said,
that's a good quote.
I haven't beat him either. But, you know, 15 is a heck of a player. You know, at any moment he's liable to do anything possible, and it's like you know, I don't like referring back to Super Bowls, but you know, rookie year we up, and Pat Mahomes just go do things Pat Mahomes does, and
yeah.
The 2-minute drill in this past Super Bowl is just. It's just Pat Mahomes doing Pat Mahomes things.
But, I mean, you got to give him game.
You got to give him his flowers. Man. Yeah, got to give him to him.
Well, yeah, when you have 3 Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
At the end, it sort of sounds like, you know, Debo kind of takes the conversation to a place of like, well, Patrick Mahomes is good. Well, yeah. Got that part. But I wonder, because, you know, you said something there about 5 minutes ago that I just happen to see different, which is that you think that this is bigger for the fans than it is for the players. And you hear that quote from Fred Warner. You hear the way the guys respond to it. This is very, very mental. This is very personal for these guys. I, as a fan, I can look at a loss this weekend and I can wrap my head around it. I have all the confidence in the world that you're going to crush Dallas the next week. And if you go 4-4 into the bye, into a division that doesn't have any other really good teams, and Christian McCaffrey is returning, I'm chilling. Like, this is not the end of the world if the Niners lose this game as a fan. But when I listen to these players, man, I think it's a problem if they lose this game. I think it's a problem because I think that from the mental side of the game, they will be at a deficit going into the second half of the year if they lose it.
I think it's only a deficit if they play him again. And the only way they'd play him again is in the Super Bowl. So for me, yes, you want to get this one because you've never gotten 15. And you also haven't gotten 87 either. And that's part of it. But they were talking about 15, Patrick Mahomes. And so, yeah, it would be a deficit emotionally if you face them again, but I don't think that you go into Dallas and think, man, I don't know if we can beat Dallas because we couldn't beat Mahomes again. That's 5 in a row. He's gotten us 5 straight times. So I don't think that this matters at all unless they play Kansas City again.
Yeah, to me, it's not even about it. It has nothing to do with like the next week of the regular season. It has everything to do with how you view yourself and the swagger and the confidence and all of this. You can't legitimately follow up Debo Samuel's comment from 2 weeks ago.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That we've been the best team in football for a while now, and we just haven't gotten over the top. You cannot legitimately do that if you go now lose to them yet again. It feels like every time you're a 1-point favorite or a 2-point favorite, and it's been in the Super Bowl, and then it's been in the Super Bowl again, and then there was the year that it was Christian's first game, and the 49ers were in sort of a weird transitional spot that they didn't even know they were in because Jimmy was about to get hurt and get knocked out for the season the very following week, and the Brock Purdy era was going to begin. None of us knew that as of yet, but the way this one went down in February, adding into it, if you now have them in your building and you're a favorite again, I get that both sides are a little dinged up, but I just, you're going to have to do this at some point if you're truly going to legitimately view yourself as the best team in the NFL, which they fancy themselves.
Well, they're wrong. And all he has to do is look at a loss to Minnesota and a choke job against the Rams and a gack job against Arizona. So if you want to think that you're the best team in the NFL, you're allowed to. I don't get to control what you think or how you see yourself, but I see an undefeated team that you've played that beat you. I see a team with one win, and their one win was against you.
Sure.
And I see another team that isn't very good who also beat you. So if you think that you're the best team in the NFL, that's great. I want my team to be confident. I want my team to have that sort of a swagger. But honestly, if you say that, and you lose this game and you fall to 3-4, it doesn't make me suddenly think, oh, now Debo's wrong. I already think that he's wrong because you are 3-3 and you should be 5-1. Fine. Even if you should be 5-1, that one was against a team that's undefeated.
But
so can you really say that you are the best team in the NFL?
You can feel that. Absolutely.
Of course you can. He's allowed to.
No, but I don't even think that it's a crazy thought. You know,
I don't think it's crazy, but I think
you
it's
start
wrong.
Spotlighting individual games, if you want to do that, then. And if the Niners do win this weekend, then they are the best team in the NFL.
Right, because they beat the defending champ.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. When a lot of people do that, it's like, if you're the best team, you wouldn't have lost that game. The best team loses games every year.
Of course.
Every year. They have disappointing, head-scratching, odd losses. Survivor pools are all over already. It's week six, and they're all over.
The whole idea of being the best team, to me, anyway,
he's
is
talking about it over
foolish.
A larger, but it's a larger sample.
Right, but the best team is the team that wins the Super Bowl. And again, it's process versus results, and we can do this till the cows come home.
So the Raptors were better than the Warriors.
They were that week, or those 2 weeks.
Okay.
And maybe it's because the Warriors had ligaments that were unable to withstand the rigors of a postseason. Whatever the reasons were, Toronto was good enough, and they were better enough to be the champs. And so it doesn't matter who's better. All that matters is who wins. So if you're 3-3 and you think that you're the best team in the NFL, you're allowed to think that, but you're 3-3.
Yeah,
so
but
what is it worth?
It's worth a projection is what it is. It's worth a projection. It's worth self-confidence. It's worth standing within the league. It's worth all kinds of things. You know, not like if it was as simple as you lose a game, then you're out, then we're playing pro sports Survivor. You lost, you're gone. You're not good anymore because you lost to the Rams because things went haywire with 5 minutes left to go in a football game. Ronnie Bell's got bad hands, and Jake Moody pulled one a little bit. Like, I don't think we can make narratives based on one game or even two games or even 1 month or whatever. We damn well know that both of these teams are going to be different in November and December than they
and
are
they'll
now.
Both probably be playoff teams.
I would,
and then,
for sure, the
so
Chiefs.
So then we can get into it and we can find out who the best team is, because you're going to have a 14-team tournament, and one of the 14 will be the Super Bowl champion, and that team will either be the best team or they won't be, but they're going to be the champion. And this goes back to 2 years ago when many people thought that the Niners were better than Philadelphia, and they may have been. But they weren't that day, and it's because your quarterback's arm fell off, and then your backup also got hurt, and you were out of quarterback. So whatever happened, happened. And so whether or not you were the better team, to me, it doesn't matter.
Before we hustle out of here, it's been a day where people have been talking about a lot of memories, a lot of stories, and all of that. Today is the 10-year anniversary of the Travis Ishikawa home run.
That's right.
To send the San Francisco Giants into the World Series. And I think most would argue, you know, maybe some would say the Matt Cain perfect game, what have you, game one against Cliff Lee and the Rangers. But as far as just a pure energetic outpouring, many would say that that's the greatest moment in the history of Oracle Park. Got me thinking, though, over that decade, okay, 2014, your headline Bay Area sports moment since then is what?
Since the Ishikawa home run, which was 2014, for me it'd probably be the Warriors' first championship Did that happen? Was that 2014 or was that 2015 when they won their first title? Was that right
I think 14.
So that would have been before the Ishikawa. So.
But is there like one night? Is there one, like, not just an entire season, but, like, I'll give you mine, for example.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Steph Curry game four Boston, whatever that is, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that performance. I brought my sons to Chase Center, and we watched a road game on the big screens inside Center.
That's right.
And it was just a journey. It was just a back and forth ball of stress and energy, and to watch what I think was just one of the great individual performances I can remember. For me, that is, if I'm going to spotlight one night that stands out in the last decade, that's the one.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. And I would probably go to when the Warriors clinched the title at home, which I think was their third of the four championships. And I was in the building for that one. And even though it seemed like it was a fait accompli, it was going to happen, just to be there for the home clinch, because I know that they beat Cleveland on the road the first time. But to be in the building for that one, that was a good one. The other one that pops to mind is the Game 7 over Sacramento, the get on the bus or don't game when Steph had 50. You know, that's another one.
That's very good.
And we're so lucky that we are picking and choosing between championship moments, right?
For sure, for sure. Or like, yeah, you take that frustration and take it to some other city and see how they're doing.
Right.
Call Cleveland.